So John, again, your thoughts and comments about clinical research data we have, including the BREACH study, and what you're doing in your practice in this regard.
Yeah, so the BREACH trial was a randomized trial that was reported for the first time at ASH and looked at those early unfavorable patients and did a randomized 2-to-1 comparison of BV-AVD versus ABVD. Again, a smaller trial and sort of the randomized phase 2 part of it, it looks like it met its primary endpoint in terms of a higher PET negative CR rate after protocol therapy. And look
I think
like
it was PET 2 though.
Yeah, right?
It was an end of study PET, so that's why I don't make much of this, Neil, because it's not really a. There's no follow up on that study. The primary endpoint, what was the PET 2 negative rate?
Are there any randomized trials in this situation with data?
For early, no, as far as I know,
any ongoing trials?
Well, so this is it. You know,
this is the only randomized.
What they're going to have?
And is there any ongoing trial looking at this?
We've asked both companies to consider doing early stage Hodgkin lymphoma study with the endpoint of radiation therapy versus no radiation therapy with BV, and that has not met, I can't say the results, the responses have not been overly friendly.
So certainly unfavorable early stage disease, you expect a 20% fail rate.
So for unfavorable early stage disease is the most common presentation of Hodgkin lymphoma. If you consider it with bulk, it's almost 40% of the patients. In my experience, and when you look at the relapse database, which when we'll speak to this further, it's like the most common patient because the patients don't get radiated in the United States. If you look at the transplant database, we see a lot of early stage Hodgkin lymphoma patients that got chemotherapy alone who've never been radiated, and they are extremely curable in the relapse setting because we can use radiotherapy in that setting, but I think that the relapse rate is significant. I'm not sure it's because the patients are not getting brentuximab. I'm more concerned that the patients are not being radiated, quite frankly.
Interesting. I want to hear a follow-up on this patient, but before we get to the follow-up, any thoughts from the three of you about this kind of picture that Craig is presenting of a lot of reluctance to use radiation therapy?
I agree.
You can understand why people are reluctant.
And during training, you know, you're taught radiation is bad, and you remember that, and then you remember the one case of someone who was treated in the early 90s who had terrible radiation side effects and lots of cancers, and it stands out to you. But
let's hear about what happened with this patient, though.
So this gentleman had scans at 6 months, and he had new lesions in his spleen. They were biopsied, showed recurrent disease. He went on to receive ICE salvage therapy. After 2 cycles, he achieved a complete response. Then he went on to an autologous transplant. Prior to transplant, we talked about brentuximab maintenance versus no maintenance versus an available clinical trial. And he opted for post-transplant brentuximab maintenance. We saw him again about a month after transplant to start brentuximab maintenance, and he refused.
What was he thinking, or what did he say?
He was tired. He was still fairly fatigued from the transplant. Even though his blood counts had normalized, he just didn't want any more therapy.
And what's his current situation?
He has not had his day 100 post-transplant
scan yet. Oh, he's fresh.
He's fresh.